Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1147. Page 1147, John chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. And again, just to set the context for this reading, this is the final discourse of Jesus according to John's Gospel. These are the last instructions or words that Jesus gives to his disciples before his passion. And so these are very, very important words for them, but also for us. Throughout this discourse, we see a repeated reference by Jesus to the Father, to himself as the Son, but also to the Holy Spirit. Several different times he says, "The Father, I'm going to send you another helper to be with you, the Holy Spirit." And so it's important during the season of Pentecost that we listen to these words about the work of God in the Holy Spirit in the world today. And so once again, we're going to hear Jesus referring to himself, to the Father, and to the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Let us go from here." This is the word of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is pretty important. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are important. The fruit of the Spirit is important. And we need to learn about these things, as Jesus promised in the Holy Spirit. He said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to teach you and remind you of all the things that I have said to you." And so we're open to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. As the psalmist says, "Lord, teach us to do your will." And so being open to the Holy Spirit is something really, really important. As I said last week, there's ways that we can quench the Spirit, ways that we can grieve the Spirit. And in my prayers this week, I've been reflecting on my own things that I say or God says through me. And I go before the Lord and I said, "Lord, are we quenching the Holy Spirit in this church?" And the answer was, maybe. Maybe. It's interesting the difference between the two services, because it was a lot more tenuous or hesitant, I should say, at the early service, which is a more traditional service. Here we seem to be more open about, you know, hearing words, for instance, of prophecy and the Holy Spirit. But I would say even in this, the question here is, are we being completely open and surrendering to the work of the Holy Spirit? And that's our question kind of before us today. And it's kind of a risky question, because things like speaking out the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, but also the gift of tongues is even more so. And by the way, in this chapter 14, I'm going to talk today about what the gift of prophecy, I believe, is, different ways that it's manifested. But in this chapter, Paul does an excellent job of letting us know what prophecy is, because he contrasts it with the gift of tongues, which is even more controversial. So I'm going to try to step slowly today and talk about the gift of prophecy. And then maybe next week, if I'm feeling, you know, blessed and good, or if Jesus doesn't come before then, I'm going to come back to the same chapter and talk about how Paul contrasts this with the gift of tongues. I listen to a lot of sermons on YouTube, which is a wonderful thing. There's a lot of bad stuff on the internet, but also a lot of good things. And I listen to a lot of sermons. And one I was listening to this week about the gifts of the Spirit, and the person was talking about how to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and talked about, someone had asked a question about the tongues, are tongues for today? And so are these gifts for today? Because a lot of people believe that there was a time, a cessation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so this person was a very, you know, solid preacher, but even acknowledged that, you know, I'd be careful with his answer because I'm going to offend somebody. Either those who are very open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation, but there's also many who are very hesitant about it, very skeptical about it. And I have to say, I started out that same way myself. I've shared this before, but Debbie and I, about 30 years ago, started getting into the scriptures and actually going to Bible studies. You know, the people who met together and talked about the Bible. I mean, that was a new thing for us. And then we heard about this thing called the Charismatic Renewal Movement in the Catholic Church. And I said, wow, I wonder what that's like. And so we went, and we stood at the back, of course, because we didn't want anybody to see us. But we wanted to look at everyone else. And they're there, and they're praising God, and they're just having this emotional thing. And here's this woman I was watching, and she's just praising the Lord and full of the Spirit. And she goes like this and goes back to praising. And I remember thinking at the time, oh, what a fake. You know, here she is being full of God, but she had to check her time, you know, to see where she was. I want you to know I have since repented of that. Because it doesn't mean she wasn't full of the Spirit, and our minds still distract us when we have this. And whether it's in our prayers and our Bible reading, I know we all, that we fight that, the distraction, right? We want to make our grocery list, okay? We want to make that, you know, what else do I have to do today? And so distractions are a normal part of even being filled in the Spirit. And so I repented of that, because that, I believe, is the danger of this whole topic of manifestations of the Spirit. Is we see a little bit of abuse or perception of abuse, and we think, oh, we can't have anything to do with that. Anything to do. Could you imagine if we use that attitude on other things, like the Scriptures? Do you know how Satan twists the Scriptures and turns them? He tried to do it on Jesus, remember that? We say, oh, Satan can twist the Scriptures. You better not read the Bible, or Satan's going to twist it, you know, in your mind. Well, of course, that's foolishness. It's wise at the same time, because we need to be on guard about it. But we don't just throw things out or dismiss them because we see potentially some places an abuse of the things that are in the Scriptures. What we have to do is look at the Scripture and say, what does the Scripture reveal? And then how does God want us to apply this in our life and in the church today? And so as I'm praying about this and thinking about it and this whole thing of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, I was just drawn to this chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Paul talks in this letter to the Corinthians, which evidently was a very Spirit-filled church, and yet also had a lot of problems and issues, you know, being caught up in things. So Paul also chastised them in several places. But here's a church that was very spiritual, very, very full of manifestations of the Spirit, and very evangelical, evidently. And so Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But now in this chapter 14, he talks specifically about this gift of prophecy. Let me just share some other things with you. Now, let me put this up, because we had this from our, okay, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Isn't that amazing? Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially, there's maybe a dozen or 15, depending on, you know, numbers that people use in different places, of the gifts of the Spirit. Earnestly desire them. Earnestly means, I really want this, right? Especially that we would prophesy. He goes on to say, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Do we need that in the church today? Sure we do. Does the world need to hear that? Encouragement, consolation, upbuilding? Of course it does. Of course it does. The one who prophesies builds up the church. That's us, the body of Christ. The one who prophesies builds up the church. That's what it's about, building up. He says, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit. I'm not sure. Are we eager for manifestations? I think we're open to it in this service. I'm not sure we're eager for it. I don't know how many of us go and say, I want more. You know, I'm eager for manifestations of the Spirit. But I think we're certainly open to it. Since you are eager for manifestations, strive to excel in building up the church. Remember we heard last week, to all are given manifestations of the Spirit. What? For the common good. For the common good. And so gets back again, building up the church. He said it three different times there. Now he talks about a worship service. He says, when we come together, each has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation. And he goes on to say, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. So it seems like their normal kind of church service, they would routinely have people give words of prophecy. And then the rest of the body would weigh what is said. Does it sound consistent with the Word of God? Which I suspect there's times that it maybe didn't. It doesn't happen much, but I was at a prayer meeting once that somebody stood up and actually showed part of a video. And I'm just right strongly within me. It's like, no, this is not of the Holy Spirit. And so we are discerning about things that we hear. We don't just, you know, openly just profess things. Most especially, are they consistent with the teaching of Holy Scripture? That's what we always get back to, okay? So that's our guide. And so we weigh what is said. But in a service, can you imagine having two or three people regularly sharing a word of prophecy that encourages the body, that builds up the body, that brings consolation to the body, that brings learning to the body? I know we have some of that here. We have times, particularly she's not here today, but I think you all know Jerry, you know, frequently will sing a word of prophecy. And that's what she's doing, by the way. People may not be familiar with that. I say, what's Jerry doing when she sings that? You know, that's a word of prophecy. It's something that we believe God is saying through her for the rest of the body. We've had maybe one or two other people do it, but it really hasn't been what I would call normal for us. It's certainly not two or three times within a service. I'm going to try to see if we change that. And it's not me changing it. It would be the Holy Spirit doing it. What we can do is allow, remember, things need to be done decently and in order. Allow for more moments of silence in the church, in our service. So I know sometimes we've had it, again, at this service, but if you sense more of it, you're going to wonder, oh, did Don forget something? Or did the computer person, you know, miss a cue or something? What happened? We're waiting. We are waiting. We're waiting on the Holy Spirit is what we're doing, to see if somebody has this sense and the word that comes from the Lord. So what else he says? He says, let two or three speak, let others weigh what is said. You can all prophesy one by one so that you may learn and be encouraged. That's another, here's again, this learning. What we heard in John's gospel, I'll send the Holy Spirit and he will teach you. How does he teach us? Through the word of God. Individually, we get words within ourselves, but also we get words with one another in the body of Christ that teach us things about God and about his work. And then he says, verse 39, so my brothers earnestly desire to prophesy. Earnestly desire to prophesy. That's a lot more than saying, well, I guess if God wants to give me that gift, I'll take it. Paul says, earnestly desire all the gifts, but especially that we may prophesy. Now, as I was meditating on that this week, the Lord just shows me more. And he says, that's not it. That's not all. Something that we've heard, in fact, we heard it in the Feast of Pentecost, and I've heard it how many times, I don't know. And yet all of a sudden, it just really spoke out to me this week. Amazing how God does that. This goes back to the prophecy of Joel that Peter mentioned on the Feast of Pentecost. Remember, they came on speaking in the language, and all the people heard them, and they're saying, "Oh, these guys are drunk." No. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, "Let me tell you what you're witnessing. What you're seeing is this is the manifestation of the Spirit, as was prophesied by the prophet Joel in the Old Testament." This is the prophecy of Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Sons and daughters. By the way, this is an aside, another thing that we always stay away from in 1 Corinthians 14. Talks about women should be silent in church. Okay, that's another situation that Paul's addressing here, because clearly in the rest of Scripture, it talks about women also having the gift of prophecy. Okay, so I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Prophesy. This is pretty important. This is pretty important. So we need to try to understand what is it that Paul, not just Paul's talking about, by the way. Let's remind ourselves. We say, well, Paul wrote this. We believe it's Paul inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Word, saying, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. This is coming from God in the Holy Spirit. And so, what does it mean? Well, we can tell what it's for. It's words from God. You know, we've talked before about how God speaks to each and every one of us. We are the sheep. He's the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. Okay, so God speaks to us through the Word, through our hearts, through other people. But this is where God's speaking to us in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the body, with a particular word for the rest of the body, with the purpose of building up the body, of encouraging the body, of bringing consolation to the body, and bringing learning to the body. And so somebody's sitting here, and we have maybe a moment of silence. Again, things are to be done decently and in order. We don't interrupt the service. Decently and in order, two or three at most, when we have a period and the Spirit puts something on us, and we share that, as we have heard done in the service. And the Holy Spirit giving a word of consolation or encouragement that we need to hear. Now, this is how it works. I know we've experienced this. If somebody will say something, and we believe it's coming from the Lord, but you will know inside of you, in your spirit, oh, that was for me. That was for me. Whatever you're struggling with right now, maybe somebody gives a word of encouragement, and you come out and say, boy, the Lord really spoke to me. That message that that person said, that was really for me, in my brokenness, in my hurting, in my trials, in the challenges I've got going on in my life right now. The Lord just gave me that word, and that was for me. That's powerful, isn't it? I hope all of you at one time or another have experienced that, because that is the gift of prophecy working, and is the power of the Holy Spirit for the building up of the body and for the encouragement of the people of God. Now, speaking this way is also, I believe, manifested in a kind of another form, which is known as extemporaneous prayer. Praying out loud. I know, who would do such a thing? Because there's risks involved. And what is the greatest risk of praying out loud? What are people around me going to think? I'm going to feel stupid. I'm going to stutter. I'm going to fall over myself and stumble on these words, and people around are going to wonder, why is that person saying this? Pride, right? Pride? Yeah. Right. I'm worried about what I'm going to, you know, what other people are going to think of me. Remember the time of CB radios? Remember, you know, Breaker 19, we had the song, and everybody had these big long antennas you had to have and go around, and that was a great era. And so we had a CB antenna on our car, and we were going on a long trip, and it was new to me and all that, but it was neat. It was very entertaining, actually, just to listen to all the chatter going on, you know, on these CB antennas. I mean, particularly the truckers. They were just great to listen to, very entertaining. And so we're going down this two-lane road, and, you know, 55 miles an hour through the country, and a car passes us on the way. And at the time, we were driving a tan Ford. And all of a sudden, I hear come over the radio, says, hey, tan Ford, you got your ears on. Got your ears on means he went past, he saw me, he said, hey, are you listening on the CB radio? He wants to talk to me. I tell you, I just about exploded. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, Debbie was like, oh my goodness, he's talking to us. I'm going to grab the microphone and I'm going to try to, you know, and all do it. I was so nervous. And why? I didn't know this person. They don't know me. I'm never going to see them again. And all the people listening on the broadcast, they would hear as well, I don't even know who they are. They don't know me. I'm never going to see them. And yet there was this nervousness, right? And this terror, in a sense. Oh my goodness, what are people going to think of me? I'm going to stumble and I'm going to... And so it's normal. It's a normal part of this, of allowing God maybe to speak through me. But it's not a... It is a pride thing, let me say that. Because we would tend to think, oh, I'm not like one of those prophets. I'm like this other person, like Judy. You know, Judy's really a holy person. I believe the Holy Spirit can speak through Judy. It's not about Judy. It's about the Holy Spirit. Can the Holy Spirit speak through somebody even like me? And I would hope we would say, well, yeah, I guess God can do anything. I guess he could speak through me if I'm willing to risk. If I'm willing to maybe... Of course, this is where the body comes in. You know, we encourage one another. Somebody says something, we encourage them, right? We get better at it the more we do it. But I also want to say emphatically that there's a common misperception in many churches that, well, it's the pastor who's got all the gifts, and he's the one who does the praying, and he's the one who's supposed to give us the word of God. And who are these other people that might, you know, be speaking up in church? I want you to know that's absolutely unbiblical. Absolutely. If you all are depending on me, you're in trouble. Okay? We are all part of the priesthood believers, are we not? We all have the Holy Spirit in us, do we not? And so can God use any one of us to speak his word to the rest of the group? Absolutely. In fact, I would dare say if we're looking at possible ways that we're quenching the Spirit, that may be one for this group right here. Maybe we're not doing enough of that, depending too much on the guy standing up in front. Now again, things have to be done decently and in order. Somebody says something, we weigh what is said. But I believe that if the opportunity is given, that we'll see more manifestations of these words of prophecy and people actually praying for one another. Things that God wants to put on our hearts that we maybe even have no idea what we're saying, but there's somebody else sitting in this church and God was speaking directly to them and to their needs at that particular moment. And we may never know it, but we trust that that's the case, do we not? And so it is my hope that either through words of prophecy, people praying for one another, which I believe is also a form of prophecy, that we as a body and as individuals would be more open to the Holy Spirit working in us and through us to bring words of upbuilding, to bring words of encouragement, to bring words of consolation, and to bring learning. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And for whatever reason, God chooses to do it through us. I know, sounds crazy, but that's his plan and his purpose. And so my hope is that as we learn to do these things, we trust. And as we trust, the Holy Spirit will respond. I just believe that. I just believe that. Let me say this again. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Prophecies speak to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. One who prophesies builds up the church. Can all prophesy one by one so that we may learn and be encouraged? My brothers and sisters earnestly desire to prophesy. We need this power in the church today. The world needs this power. Not just for us within the body, but within our families. How often do we have people in the family? We wish we had this magic word to say to someone. Not a word of judgment, but a word of encouragement, a word of upbuilding. And where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to labor over it or wonder if I say the right things. It's just, Holy Spirit, please give me the words right now to say to this person for their encouragement and their upbuilding, not for their judgment. For their upbuilding, their encouragement, their learning. And the Holy Spirit will respond because the Word of God is true, and that's what He promised. And so my hope is that we would learn this. and be more open to these words of encouragement that the Holy Spirit wants to give us through one another. What a beautiful thing this is. And so we're going to try to have moments of silence, and we have that opportunity. Not pressure, it's just an opportunity. If the Holy Spirit wants to say something to us through a person, that would be the time. And then the rest of us will weigh what is said. But I also want to do something right now that I've never done before in this service. But I think to demonstrate that this is true and that all of us have gifts of being able to speak words of God by this Holy Spirit, I would now like to ask someone here, whoever the Holy Spirit puts on your mind, to please close us in a prayer. Amen. We pray.